As you have often heard me say, I can't stay long away from the topic of the multifaceted love of Jesus. Well, there are several reasons why I do this. First of all, the love of Jesus is an inexhaustible topic. There is always something more to say about it. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Well, that's a compelling argument to spend time meditating on the love of Jesus. His love is so wide and long and high and deep, it's tough to grasp it. And no one person can grasp it all. Just as we just read how Paul said, it takes the whole church together doing this to grasp even a part of that love. No one can ever say that they learned all they could about a love that is without measure and just move on to other things. Well, plus, and here's the main reason I always come back to this subject, to the degree that we do grasp that deep, deep love of Jesus, our life is sweetened, our deepest longings satisfied, and our hearts filled to overflowing with a love that comes from Jesus, but reflects back to him and spreads abroad to others around us. To the degree that we grasp the many facets of that love. His love is heroic. His love is ever-present. His love is a shepherd-hearted love. It's a gentle love. It's a deeply compassionate love. And so much more. I know I haven't yet gotten to all the facets of that love, if indeed that were possible. But today I plan to get one step closer to that goal. Today we're going to talk about the healing love of Jesus. And as I began to search the gospel accounts for examples of his healing love, I made a discovery. It was something I'd noticed before, but I didn't give much thought to. In most cases, whenever Jesus healed someone, he didn't just do it with a word. He didn't just speak a word of healing. Occasionally he did, but not usually. Usually, when he healed someone, he did it with the touch of his hands. And he did it often. I found time after time Jesus healed with a personal touch. So I've brought with me several beautiful examples of where Jesus healed with a touch. So let's look at these. And each of these examples is unique, and we learn different things from each healing. Matthew 8:1 says, "When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy." So here we have what, at the time, must have been a shocking thing for everyone to see. You were supposed to stay away from such men. You shouldn't be in their company. You should step aside when you see them on the street. And you should never touch the person, lest you also become unclean. But Jesus did. He touched the untouchable. In his great love, his healing love, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the untouchable, and his healing power flowed from his touch, the touch of a hand, and he was restored to health. Well, here's another account. A very interesting healing, and in one way, it was different from all the other healings that we read about. Matthew 8:22. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Now, this is very interesting. Though the man was made better, he was not completely healed. Well, let's see what comes next. Verse 25. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. So when Jesus laid his hands on the blind man to heal him, it was only a partial healing to begin with. Why? Was the first attempt a failure? I think that was for our sake that he did the healing in stages. What can we learn from this? Well, sometimes we have to pray and pray again until the healing is complete. So Jesus gives us an example to persist in prayer until the need is completely resolved. But once again, just as with the leper, it was a personal touch of his hands that the healing flowed from the healing love of Jesus to the blind man. A personal touch of Jesus. Now, we come to the account where two healings took place, and where we see, though sometimes healing comes from Jesus reaching his hand to touch us, other times it's from us reaching out our hands to touch him. Matthew 9:18. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Jesus is so full of healing love, sometimes all it takes is a touch. She didn't even touch him. She just touched the cloak he was wearing. And barely even the cloak, just the edge of the cloak. We may say, "I can't grasp the fullness of his love. I don't know him near well enough. I've been too far away, too distant, too distracted, too estranged even. I can't reach into his healing heart." Well, that's okay. Just touch the surface of Jesus and see what wonders may come. But back to the story. Verse 23. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. So once again, that personal touch. He took the girl by the hand and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. Now we come to Matthew 14:34. It says, "When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed." Now Mark 7:31. "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Also in Mark 1:29 it says, "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them." In Matthew 20:29, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Notice that. They needed the healing love of Jesus, and they were not too proud to be vocal about it. But sometimes things get in the way of us going to Jesus for that healing. Sometimes it's our own fears or unbelief or pride. In the case of these blind men, it was the crowd of people. There are always people who don't understand the priorities of Jesus. These people probably thought they were doing Jesus a favor by telling them to shut up. They reasoned that Jesus is very important and he has very important things to do. He's too important to be bothered by a couple of blind nobodies. Matthew, the writer of the account, doesn't seem to even know the name of these two men, so unimportant they were by human standards. So the crowd tells them to shut up. Fortunately for them, they knew Jesus better than the crowd, and they kept calling after him in spite of the wicked things people were saying to them. They are nameless nobodies to everyone except Jesus, and their persistence paid off. They ignored everyone's negativity and received the healing love, the healing touch of Jesus. And Luke 13:10 says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." Even when there's a spiritual dimension to our physical problems, and there often is, the remedy is still the same, the healing touch of Jesus, the healing love. But wait, Jesus doesn't walk around in a physical body as he did 2,000 years ago, so he's not touching anyone. Ah, but he is. There are two ways that come to mind how he still expresses his healing love. First of all, he still reaches out to people every day as they seek him in prayer and the study of the scriptures, and with a very personal touch, not in body, but in spirit, he heals. He's not present in his body, but he is ever present in his Holy Spirit. And he heals bodies, he heals hearts, he heals minds, he heals spirits. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are of a contrite spirit." Jesus is close to the humble, the brokenhearted, the needy, and he heals people who seek him every day. The other way he expresses his healing love, his healing touch, is through us. Since Jesus first walked the face of the earth, his disciples have been laying hands on others, sometimes for healing, sometimes for commissioning someone for Christian service, sometimes just to impart grace, to dispense grace. The Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, and He imparts grace through His disciples as we touch others in Jesus' name. That's why we lay hands on people when we pray for them. The healing love of Jesus flows through our hands as we pray in faith in accordance with His will. Acts 10:38 tells us that Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. So we should go and do likewise. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.